Welcome to the podcast from Eden Worship Center. Because we believe that it is God's Word that does God's work in God's people, we want you to hear the gospel preached in the gathering of believers. We want you to read it for yourself and to join us as we think together and talk together about the sermon from this past week and what's going on in our world. You can join the conversation by sending in your comments and questions to edenwc@hotmail.com. May God cause His Word to come alive in your heart today.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome to the EWC Midweek Podcast. Pastor Matt here.
Josiah Fentress here.
It sounded a little bit like a spy or something. Josiah Fentress, agent.
Perhaps.
It kind of threw me off because I was trying to mute the computer. Otherwise, It echoes really bad while we're doing this, so I got it. It, you know, fourth time's the charm. Hit it. That's how computers work for me. Well, not for you. You're kind of the... Josiah is our IT genius around here. You put him and Justin Geigley together and...
We do stuff.
Yeah, they can do it. They can make it work. They're the ones who are going to start, like, the Terminator Skynet thing. It's why our...
That is us, yes.
Our Wi-Fi here is called Skynet. Hey, so we didn't get together to talk about that. Let's talk about the sermon passage from this week a little bit. Mm-hmm. We were finishing up Philippians chapter 1 and got to those last handful of verses that started out, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel." So maybe just by recap a little bit, we talked a little bit on Sunday about the fact that it's kind of hidden that from what we can see in the English translation of our Bible. But the Greek actually points us to being citizens, mm-hmm. which is tied throughout the book of Philippians. Paul, who is a Roman citizen,
right,
is going to make a big deal to the Philippians, who are Roman citizens. But he's going to say, live as citizens worthy of the gospel of mm-hmm. Christ. And the reminder attached to that is, this world is not our home, even the best parts of it. Mm. Like in a crazy old school way, with all of the world being semi-crazy around them, being a Roman citizen brought some sanity, brought some order to it. And he points to even that and goes, don't pin your hopes to that.
Right.
Live like you're citizens of another kingdom because you are. But like you have another king because you do.
Right.
Anyways, you do the rest.
Okay. Well, secondly,
just before we started, I'm like, there's been all kinds of stuff going on. I'm like, Josiah, I have no idea where we're going with this. And he's like, I have less idea.
I have less of an idea than you do. No clue. Here to help.
So any thoughts from Sunday, Josiah?
Yeah, I really loved the idea of pulling back from the culture that was happening at the time and how that's relevant to today. In the epistles are kind of common in the sense that, like, even though they were written for individuals back then, they're incredibly relevant for today's age. So in this case of understanding that even though we are Americans, that's not the primary level of identity. That's not even the important identity. It's not even really an identity that matters at all. We tend to dive into that a lot, but as you were talking about, that we are citizens of a kingdom and we should live as such, and that even though we're currently located here, to live any other way other than worthy of the gospel is doesn't matter.
It's foolish, is what it is.
Falls away.
Now we know that intellectually, but experientially, oh man, all it takes is one wrong person, one wrong situation. And it's almost like our brains hit reset and we go all the way back to, this is all there is.
Yeah.
By the way, it's all broken and hopeless.
All of the time that situations like that come up, either for myself or my wife or other people, I actually go back to a really great quote that I'm not sure either you made up or you found it. But it's when our minds know what our hearts are too quick to forget. Mm. Yeah. Which is, we have a general understanding of basic biblical truth in most cases, depending on, you know, your background and where you grew up and where you're at in maturity-wise, determines where you are on that spectrum. But despite this basic truth of understanding...
Oh, I'm on the spectrum. 100% when it comes to that.
With a basic understanding of truth, even though we know it, we forget it so quickly when it needs to be applied.
Yeah.
When there's just a little bit of pressure that's put.
Which is sad, because we forget it when we need it.
Yeah.
Like, it's in those moments that we have to stand with our feet firmly on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what Paul's going to go on to say to them here. Like, okay, that this world is unsure. It's unstable. I'd like to come see you. I don't know if I will. I may end up dead in this prison. Whether I do or whether I don't, here's what I'd like to hear, that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. The problem is, in those moments, our hearts forget all about it, and they're just running wild, and vain imaginations and endless what ifs that just eat us up.
Yeah, the ironic part is understanding that Paul, who is in prison,
is
telling them, individuals that aren't in prison,
live
your lives worthy of the gospel. Remember these things. Bring them to mind. And here he is in prison.
Yeah.
Like,
how would we respond? Like, if you're the one stuck in prison and you're like, you know what? Here's the thing, God. I had a decent life. Like, I Pharisee of Pharisees, super respected from a young age. And then this Jesus guy comes and interrupts everything, knocks me off my high horse, literally, turns everything around. Now, instead of being the one who's hunting what I believe to be unfaithful people, I'm the unfaithful one in their eyes. Like, I've lost everything, all of my position, all the respect. And now I'm in prison. I got a raw deal, God. You know what? I followed after you. You owed it to me to get me out of here. How many of us would like sit around and have a giant pity party for ourselves? And as soon as we find somebody who we can write a letter to or a listening ear, we're like, let me tell you how I'm the victim here. Other people, not you and I.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean,
it's mostly you.
It's
guys.
You.
Yeah,
it's no,
you guys.
Not me.
We would never do that.
Never.
I mean, how quick do we do that? And then it's like a one-man pity party that we throw for ourselves. And we don't see Paul doing it, which I think is just amazing. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that I want to hear that you're standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. He doesn't ever use the word together, but everything that he's talking about means this isn't just you by yourself.
Yeah.
This is you and others. This is brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was interesting. Sunday night, I don't know if you heard, they had a little thing called the Super Bowl.
Never heard of it.
No, it's
is that like a really large salad?
It's a lot of like really large gentlemen
wearing
like women's tights.
Oh, okay.
And then hugging each other to the ground. It's
you know,
bizarre.
The sad part is like that may be a thing somewhere.
it's called sumo wrestling, but it's not tights. It's a diaper. So we're watching the Super Bowl, and almost immediately at the beginning, there's this commercial, He Gets Us, which they've been around for a few years. And it is a quote unquote, if you're listening to the podcast, like air quotes right here, a Christian organization. And the whole idea that they're trying to promote is Jesus understands us. He gets us. And it sounds like a great message, but then they had all of these images just sort of one after another of people in our modern age washing somebody's feet. And, so there's like a police officer washing a criminal's feet, and a protester at a abortion clinic washing a young lady's feet outside the thing. And it culminates with some sort of pastor or priest, because he's got like the clerical collar on, he's got the big cross on, down on his knee, washing the feet of a flamboyantly gay gentleman, right? So the whole message is, it ends with... Jesus didn't hate anybody. He washed their feet. And I think it's actually appropriate given the fact that Paul is going to say, okay, let your life be in keeping with the gospel. If you are a sinner who's dead in your sin, unable to save yourself, but Christ in his grace and glory has saved you, ransomed you, redeemed you, adopted you into his family. Live like that's true. Mm. Right? So I used the phrase on Sunday. Stop living like you're from here. Mm. Right? Live like you're like you belong to a different kingdom. We're called to do that together. Not just me, not just you, like all of us together. So it almost sounds like, well, that's a good message. Can't we all just come together? Mm. I remember when I worked in the trailer factory, you'd have whatever, one guy yelling at another, and then they're just like yelling, saying very, if you haven't worked in a trailer factory, they say very encouraging things one to another, only to for the edification and building up on the body of Christ.
Very good.
And you can go to the bank on it. In fact, I've never worked, you're at KZ now. Mm. I have worked at KZ, but never worked at like Grand Design or some of those other places. But I guarantee two guys get yelling at each other and somebody in the background goes, can't we all just be friends? that's the message of he gets us in that commercial. Like, can't we all just be friends? Like, Jesus loved everybody. He accepted everybody. He washed everybody's feet. Now, the reality is...
Sad twisting of that image, by the way.
He didn't. He washed his disciples' feet. Mm. Like, he went to those who were his own and washed their feet. And you could make the argument, okay, well, what about Judas? Mm. Right? Judas, Jesus described as destined for destruction. Yeah, he did wash his feet, but he made no excuses for his sin. In fact, he then says that this is the one who was destined for destruction.
The twisting that happens is not that Jesus is washing their feet and telling them, I'm washing your feet because their sin, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. No, there was a servant heart suffering servant king that was being humble and showing his disciples, I myself would wash your feet. May you wash one another's feet.
And ultimately, that's going to go past washing the external dirt off someone's feet. I mean, feet were their primary mode of transportation, mm-hmm. right? So that it would be like washing somebody's car nowadays. Mm. He goes to the cross and washes our soul. And now, although we believe that sacrifice was for his own, for the elect, the offer is held out to the whole world.
Right.
As long as you have breath in your lungs, as long as it's called today, if you can hear his voice, come, mm-hmm. right? But I think we have to be careful as Christians to be discerning in a world that wants universalism. It wants everybody included, and you don't ever get to say that anything is sin or anybody is wrong. And God's word doesn't ever get to say mm-hmm. that anymore. And anytime it does... we showed a thing at the School of Ministry where a Lutheran female pastor said, well, we don't read this part of Paul's writings because it's, well, yikes. As soon as we do that, we're just ripping out. We're undermining Scripture.
Yeah. And placing ourselves.
Placing ourselves above Scripture.
Yeah.
Super stupid and dangerous. But it's not that kind of acceptance Paul's talking about. He's talking about a gospel... fellowship one with another, a gospel community that we have that leads to one spirit because it's the Spirit of God indwelling us.
Right.
One mind because it's the mind of Christ that we've been given. So we're striving side by side for faith in the gospel, not striving side by side for whatever social justice or political issues that has floated to the top in the minute. Mm. And I just think it's so much better. His very next thing he's going to say, if you do that, you're not going to be frightened by any of your opponents. And you look at our day where we're so scared of everybody else, of criticism, what anybody else is going to say, that the cancel culture, which I accidentally called cancer culture, I agree. It's that.
Yes. Yes to both.
It is an absolute cancer that's growing on humanity right now. And it's killing this kind of genuine faith and fellowship. And man, we have to fight to get back to that place where the connection that we have in the body of Christ isn't based on the fact that we all vote the same, like the same things, dislike all the same things. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has ransomed our souls from death with his blood upon the cross, has called us into faith and obedience to his word. He says, here's how you'll know you're my disciple. Here's how you know that you love me. Keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. So if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. That's what Jesus said. I mean, right. I wouldn't say that. Josiah would say something mean like that. But like that's Jesus' words. That it's
sorry.
The definite, sorry, don't be sorry. Jesus said, what's wrong with you? Jesus said it, the measure of how much someone loves is how much they're willing to obey him.
Yeah.
And we dare not put an unconditional love of God. I think it was R.C. Sproul who said, people aren't afraid of hell anymore because preachers are telling them God unconditionally loves you.
Right.
And it's just not true. Like, he has love for all humanity, like John 3:16, for God so loved the cosmos, the world, mm-hmm. that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then it goes, he didn't come into the world to judge it because it's already under judgment.
Yeah.
It's already under condemnation because they've rejected him as king. Back to the beginning. We have a king. We better realize it.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, Josiah? Enlighten us with your wisdom.
I just, the beauty in the idea of what you're talking about in unity in the gospel is, further evidence of that is just found in the very next section in mm-hmm. chapter 2, which I'm sure Avery will be happy to touch on.
Yeah, Avery Nickum's preaching this week.
This Sunday.
Come on out, y'all.
Where Paul is going to talk about same under the same guise of unity in the gospel amongst the church at Philippi, but is also easily applicable to the universal church, the yeah. Catholic church,
yeah.
In unifying and being humble and counting others more significant than yourselves.
Yeah.
Unify under that guise of for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah. And then he's going to immediately point us right after he says, count others more important than yourselves to Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's how Jesus did it.
That's the ultimate example.
Here's how you should do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Beautiful.
Good. So the last couple verses in our passage from this week, man, it could almost, if we just stopped with those first couple, like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get to you or not, but make sure, stand together, yeah. one spirit, one mind, side by side for the gospel. You don't have to be afraid of your opponents. We just quit there. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go home. We're like, not too bad. Not too shabby.
Sounds sweet.
Church united. And then he says, for it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe, we like that part, but also suffer for his sake.
Ooh.
Yeah. Engaged in the same fight, the same conflict that you saw that I had, and now you're hearing that I still have. And I think it's a really important thing that we dare not buy into the TV preacher lie that goes, all you got to do is trust Jesus and your life just gets perfect and easy. He'll fix all your problems, like your financial problems. Boom, fix them. Your marriage, boom, your kids, fix them. That's just not the case. God will use hardship and suffering in our life, and he does it to shape us and mold us more and more into the image of Jesus mm-hmm. and out of the image of us. Like, we're like, yeah, I don't like it though. Because it pushes me out of, you know, my comfort zone. And he's like, that's point.
That's what we want. Yeah, that's what he wants.
Yeah. But I think we don't always respond well to suffering.
No.
The problem is when we don't respond well, there's a world that's watching us. And if we haven't fought this fight beforehand, haven't fixed our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, like Paul said in chapter 1, I'm sure of this, that he who began the good work is going to see it through to completion. If we haven't stood our feet on that rock beforehand, when troubles come and our hearts forget, everybody around us becomes a casualty. Because they're watching. This is what it looks like for Josiah, a follower of Jesus Christ, to go through hardship or suffering. For Matt to go through hardship or suffering. For Christian to go through hardship and suffering. And when our eyes fall from Jesus to something else, well, we prove in that moment where our hope really is.
Yeah.
I'll say I trust in Jesus on a Sunday.
Mm. Apply a little pressure.
Apply a little pressure, and then you find out where people really look.
Right.
And that's the thing that they're fighting with everything they have, it, you know, scratching, clawing, trying to keep a hold of that.
Yeah, which I think is to circle back in when suffering happens, there's a significant beauty in the fact that, like you said before, God did not allow us and put us in a place where we're doing that by ourselves.
Yeah.
He didn't leave us alone.
Yeah.
Not only do we have him, which is the ultimate, that's all we need.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he gave us a body of collective believers to support and help us, remind us, fix our eyes on the true.
Yeah. He joined us with a church.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true. I think it's true. I thought of it when you said it. I think it's true. He is all we need.
Yeah.
But he's not the only thing that we need. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the supreme thing that we need. All that we need for life and godliness is found in God and his word. But the church was his idea.
Yeah.
And so we're not actually meant to do that alone. We're meant to, I love the image with the kids up there, to stand on God's word and then be surrounded by God's people.
Yeah.
That, Joe and Michelle, just in case you're listening, my idea was I was going to solicit one of your kids on Sunday to be my volunteer. And then I was going to push him around all over the place and keep telling him to stand still, you know, and then get all the Yoder brothers up there and sister and like
all
put their arms
all 24
up,
of them.
All 24 of them. Put their hands up, hold them in place. Only then we get there and Joe and Michelle's family were gone this weekend.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's just see. We'll just see who we get. Luck of the draw. And so to have Dominic, who's a bigger kid, an older kid, come up and then have a bunch of younger, smaller kids come just sort of like put their hands on him from behind. And I pushed him really hard. Like I actually lifted my one foot up off the ground so people could see all of my weight is actually pushing on him. And he wasn't going anywhere. Man, what a beautiful picture that I think our adults need to learn. Mm-hmm. I think I need to learn.
I love the even further aspect of that and understanding that parents.
Oh my gosh. That was one of those. There's a few things where when you're going through it on a Sunday, you're like, I don't know if I can get through this. That this is an emotional thought for me. But to have moms and dads come up and stand behind their kid and no, I'm the one who's got you right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to hold you. And then Maddox walks around the front and gives a big thumbs up. I have no idea what he was thinking, but you know, Lord willing, we get to do that for them as well. But what a great reminder right in front of us, how much we need each other.
Yeah.
Like how many times, listener, have you felt pushed back and forth by life, circumstances, people, ups, downs, discouragements, and you go, man, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. Those are the times that we run to God's word and we run to God's people.
Yeah.
And if you got to do it every hour, you do it every hour. You know, if you got to do it every 10 minutes, you do it every, that's not forever. Mm. But in moments, in seasons of our life, we cling tenaciously to the church that Christ has given us, of which he is head. And we hold on to his word because this world and our suffering will lie to us about who our God is.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not good. He's not taking care of you. He's not working all things together for good. Maybe he's not sovereign over this. There's nothing he can do about it. And the reality is Christ is king. All that he has elected from the beginning of the world he's going to do, he does. No one can thwart his plans. Our plans get changed all the time. You know, the ups and downs and good and bad. So just an encouragement as we wrap this up. Lean into God's word. If you haven't built a habit of reading God's word daily, of maybe gathering at the end of the day with your family for family worship, that's a pattern, that's a habit I think you should start right now.
And even if you're by yourself.
Yep.
Either by yourself or call someone.
Yep.
That's
absolutely. Absolutely.
There's many single individuals that could benefit from, even if they're not able to gather together every single night, that's, I think, unrealistic. But just calling up and say, hey, I want to read the word with somebody.
Yep.
Would you do that with me?
I'm by myself, and if I don't have some accountability, I'm probably not doing it. Yeah. And then it would be good to call or text those people and go, oh, and by the way, you're my guy. Or you're the girl. If you're a guy, contact guys.
Yes.
If you're a girl, contact
good,
girls.
Good clarification.
Don't be like a young guy, and then you text a girl, and you're like,
you're my girl.
You're my girl. Every time I need something spiritually, I'm coming to you. It's your new dating plan.
That is a true yikes.
Yeah, that one is yikes. But have pre-set up people in your life where, okay, when stuff happens, these are the people I'm sharing life with.
Yeah.
I'm sharing heartache and struggle with. And I think if we do that, no matter what the chaos that's going on around us. And by the way, right outside the door, all around us, they're setting up for the Valentine's kids thing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like lots of noise and activity just outside that door. And that's all happy stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's usually not happy stuff that's banging on the door to get in. It's usually super hard and stressful and frustrating. You got to have a plan before hard and stressful and frustrating shows up.
Yeah.
Or we won't stand. We won't be joined together with brothers and sisters of one spirit and one mind. We'll just find ourselves all by ourselves. We'll pull away.
Yeah.
And our encouragement is don't do that. Lean into God. Lean into God's people. Find strength in that.
Mm.
Good. Yeah. I think for the sake of time, we'll probably just leave it there and go take care of a whole bunch of kids. But Lord willing, we will see you this coming Sunday. We have Sunday school for all ages at 9 o'clock. And then at 10, our worship service. And Avery Nickum is going to be preaching again. I believe he's going to be speaking from Philippians 2.
1 through 4.
Verses 1 through 4. So maybe take some time and just read that, meditate on that, and then come in, be encouraged by God's word.
Yeah.
Join with God's people. All right. God bless. We'll see you then.